Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. We have a great 2 hours coming your way. Martin's going to join us at 11 o'clock. We're excited about that. We're also going to be joined at 11:20 by Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott. Dr. Rick Lehman is going to join us at 11:40. But for our first hour, we are thrilled to have in studio the Hall of Famer, Rick Hummel. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Very good. So much to discuss. Yesterday, it looked like it was going to be kind of an uneventful off day for the Cardinals. Instead, the news about Jordan Hicks. Your reaction to that?
Well, once I heard he was going to have an MRI, my concern became a little bit more. Not great. I didn't expect that particular result. I thought there might be something else found. But now they have to decide, do you go surgery or do you let it rest? I mean, I'm sure there's a uneasy time here. We have to decide what's the best option. He's going to be out in months either way, but is he going to be out many months or just a few months? And even a few months takes him to the rest of the season.
Yeah. Didn't it seem, I hate to be cynical, but almost inevitable when you see a guy that young throw that hard, that often, it just seems like it's a fact of life for so many pitchers.
The good thing is he's only 22 years
old.
He heard it throw a slider, which is actually his best pitch. I know he throws 105 miles an hour sometimes, but his slider is still his best pitch. And that seemed kind of weird that he would hurt it out of not a 100-mile-an-hour throw. But he'll be all right, I would think, in time. He should be all right by his 23.
But there's also examples like Jason Mott and maybe this version of Trevor Rosenthal. I'm not saying it's done, that guys don't come back.
Well, Jason Mott had thrown a number of pitches in his career before he went out. And Rosenthal he still threw hard, but he couldn't get it over the plate anymore. Now, Hicks will be, I mean, there's no guarantee on this thing. And George Paletta is one of the best. I'm sure he'll be involved if there's some surgery here. But you can't, there's no guarantee that a guy comes back the same way he was. Maybe he's not going to throw 105 miles an hour anymore. Well, he doesn't really have to. He was getting by, quotes, on 100, 101 here lately,
yeah,
and doing just fine with it.
You know, Dr. Rick, who's going to be with us a little bit later, I think he has said in the past that after you have Tommy John surgery, that you normally get 6 or 7 years out of that. So not that we're planning that far in advance, but if that's the case, if he's the norm, then that means he could be done by 29 or 30.
Well, he would be done in that context as a quality top-of-the-line pitcher. He could still probably pitch if he has,
yeah,
let's say he develops some other weapons along the way. Maybe he'll still have a slider. Maybe he'll develop a changeup or a curveball or something. We don't know. But he's a pretty sharp kid, and I'm sure he's maybe wrestling with the decision right now, too, what's the best way to go. Tommy John normally keeps you out 12 to 14 months, but there's been another surgery lately that only keeps you out about 6 months. So either way, that takes him to next season.
Yeah, the way it was described to me last night was, if it's only a partial tear, he could be back in 3 or 4 months. It probably knocks him out, but still it gets him ready for spring training.
Right.
But if it's a full tear,
then he's out until this time next year.
Yeah. Okay, so options for the Cardinals. You know, they had a guy in Ryan Helsley who would have fit that role, but he's not right. But you also have some guys with some serious closing experience on their resume.
Well, you know how I felt about Carlos Martinez being the closer going to,
yeah,
spring training. I thought he'd be the best option. I still think he's the best option. He will eat that up I know he said he wants to start, but now he can be the man three or four times a week, and he likes that. And he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour anymore, but he throws 98 when he has to, and he has a great breaking ball, good off-speed pitch. He's a competitor, and he will light it up, I think, as a closer. Now, he can't do it every night. He's going to have some help. This is where Gant comes in. And Andrew Miller, they paid a bunch of money to have him. He's going to have to close some games and be a little bit better than he's been.
But he's been a little bit better lately. I think it's 12 of the last 14 appearances he's unscored upon.
But that home run, that was an awful
that was
home
brutal,
run
yeah.
to Riddle the other day. But yeah, you're right. He's been better lately.
Yeah. So, you know, of all the Cardinal question marks, I think the bullpen, even with losing Hicks, is really not a big concern. Because as you mentioned, Carlos, and then you have Gant, Miller, Brebbia. And then Gallegos.
Gallegos has been fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, he's walked six and struck out 49. He's struck out 18 batters since he's walked anyone. That's pretty good.
That's insane.
And
yeah.
That's over about 15 or 16 outings. Now, he'll get some late inning use. As Ben Fredrickson wrote in our paper this morning, the key to this is to have the starting pitching take these games longer than they have been generally. You can't use all these guys every night. You're going to have to get these guys only two innings when they have to pitch rather than three or four. And that's up to Jack Flaherty. Now, Michaelis got pulled early the other day, but he still had 90 pitches after five. He had only one more inning in anyway. It's up to Waino. It's up to Waka. It's up to Ponce if he comes up here. They got to pitch six innings almost every time out.
All right, with Waka, aberration the other night, or you think that's going to be the trend with him moving forward?
I don't know. I was impressed, though. And we'll see how. I'm sure he's got an assignment against San Diego sometime this weekend out there. Pretty good ball club now. Good offense with Machado and Hosmer and Reyes and some other guys that they have. Tatis. So let's see. I like what I saw lately, but they're going to have to. Waka and Wainwright are going to have to be more consistent, too. And Flaherty's going to have to win some games. He's 0 for his last six, even though only one's been a decision.
Now, does Ponce get the call up right away? And then what would his role be with his 1.20 ERA in the major leagues?
I don't think I would do that right away because you're looking for a reliever, and all Ponce has been really good. His control is not outstanding for a reliever. He walks a lot of guys as a reliever. He walked only one his last start, but he walked four the time before that in like five innings. Leon has pitched better for Memphis lately, and he's on option. He's on your club anyway. Helsley has been on the IL. I don't know if he's ready to come off yet. I won't think it's too long, but I would think Leon would be the first choice right now. And then when games start piling up again, then you want Ponce back up here. But they have many off days. They're off yesterday. They're off Thursday. They're off next Thursday.
This question would have been seemed preposterous if you asked us at the beginning of the season. But let me ask it now. Which pitcher would you rather have for the next 5 years? One of the guy that everybody's talking about, Dakota Hudson, or Jack Flaherty?
That's a hard one. Hudson's their best pitcher right now. Flaherty probably has the best stuff. So I don't think I can make that determination. I will say that Hudson is their ace right now. That's as far as I would take it.
What do you think makes him tick? Why is he on this run of quality starts?
He's got a power sinker that people just beat into the ground, and now for the first time in a number of years, the Cardinals actually have a good defensive infield. I mean, they're okay at third. I mean, Carp's okay, but at the other three positions, they're well above average. So you get ground balls hit, they're outs. With some of these other infielders they've had, those were hits or errors, and a sinker ball didn't do you any good. So this is a guy, he has a sinker slider, but he keeps throwing it, and they keep hitting into the ground, and it looks as if the way he throws doesn't put as much strain on his arm as it might other people.
And do you think he has, like, number one starter stuff in the league for a long time?
I think so, at least number two starter. I mean, if you win games, you're a number one starter, I think. He's not going to strike out 8 or 10 guys a game, which it seems number one starters are kind of required to do. But Greg Maddux was number one starter for a long time. He didn't throw as hard as this guy does. This guy can throw it up to 95, 96 miles an hour. He's just not a strikeout pitcher, nor does he want to be. He gets outs faster on ground balls.
What do you make of Flaherty? Because he has these interesting starts. Like the last one against Miami was 8 strikeouts and – wait, no. It was 8 strikeouts and 1 walk. And yet he ended up losing the game. He has this, these appearances where he just looks so unhittable, but then he gives up these home runs.
Yeah, you've got to – sometimes you just got to shut him out. You can't give up any runs. His stuff is wonderful, but – you have to win. You have to win games. He's 4-4. A lot of no decisions lately, for sure. But if you pitch a little bit better, you get a decision. You get a win.
Is Wainwright about what you expected, above expectations, below expectations?
I think a little above. I didn't think he'd throw as many pitches in the 90 to 92 range as he has. He doesn't do it every pitch. Can't. But he has so many other pitches. He moves the ball around. He and Molina are a treasure together, you know. They know each other as the back of your hand. So I think if I envision him winning 10 to 12 games, which is certainly possible. He's got 5 going into tomorrow.
I imagine you did not think that Miles Michaelis would be sitting here in late June with an ERA of 4.33. Not terrible, but after what you saw, this is below expectations.
He's allowed many more home runs this year at this pace at this part of the season he did last year. I think he had 16 for the whole season last year. He's at 14 already with halfway through. And he thinks that the league has adjusted him a little bit. He was maybe a little lucky last year at times, but he's still good. But he's 5-8, and he lost only 4 games all last season. So he's going to have to be more cognizant of keeping the ball in the ballpark. He's around the plate a lot. And his walks are excellent this year, except for the awful walk he gave up to Tyler Skaggs, who had never been on base in the big leagues until the other day. He's got to be better, because he was your ace coming into the season, and 5-8 is not ace material with a 4.3 ERA.
I know what's out there is often dictated what you can actually trade for. Like, the Yankees probably didn't need a hitter, and they acquired a hitter recently. But if it was a perfect world and you could acquire a reliever, a starter, or a hitter, which would you do? What's their biggest
need? I would try to get a veteran starter. Somebody at least as good or maybe a little bit better than what you have now. I've always been intrigued by Bumgarner. I don't know if St. Louis is on his playlist or not, but those things can be worked out. And even if you only have him for a couple months, it might be all you need. They do need a left-handed starter anyway. They haven't had much success with that. Gombrich won a few games for him last year. Cabrera did very little in his 2 starts this year. And they haven't had a good left-handed starter since Jaime Garcia had a couple nice seasons for him 4, 5, 6 years ago. And this guy's a proven winner. He's been on 3 World Series champions. Even if you only rent him, I'd like to have a guy like that. Because that makes – he can give you innings because he can hit, first of all. You don't have to pinch hit for him all the time. He can bat for himself in the 6th inning. And I think that's what they need the most. The hitters are here. They just are not hitting. And you're not going to bring in a whole lot of guys better than what they already have in their lineup. I mean, could you look at center field? Well, they got to – I mean, Harrison Bader's going to have to hit something if you keep running him out there. You know, you could play Dexter out there more often and play Martinez in right. Martinez is hitting like he did last year now and making good plays in the field. You see him turning that ball the other night.
That's right.
It looked like he knew what he was doing, and he did. But Harrison Bader is going to have to hit better. And a lot of guys, Carpenter, Goldschmidt, I mean, the only guy who's really put up numbers to speak of is Ozuna. And he, you know, even though his average is modest, they didn't get him for his average. They got him for his home runs and his RBIs, and he's given them that.
Bumgarner's numbers are kind of similar, except the strikeouts, to Miles Michaelis. He's 3-7, 4.28. But the strikeout totals are impressive. He's got 93 Ks in, I think, 96 innings. With just 20 walks. So he still has it. Not quite as dominating as he once was, but he's still fine.
He's been on a bad team, too.
Yeah, you know,
they might be the worst team in the league next to Miami. And
what do you think it would take to get somebody like him?
Well, they're going to want 1 or 2 pitchers and a position player probably, but it depends if anybody else comes with them. You know, you might want to maybe get another – if you give up a position player, maybe you want to get a bench player back from them or something, but –
I mean, is Gomber and Bader too much to give for 4 months of him?
That,
or does Bader have much value at all?
I would think Beto would have some value because he has some speed and power, and he's a good defensive outfielder. He just doesn't hit for average, or hasn't lately.
So you think that's enough, healthy Gomber and Bader to get Bumgarner?
I would explore that possibility. You might want to get an outfielder back who's not a top-line player. But Gomber, you know, Gomber could be a starter for them, and Bader could be a regular player for them. And is that too much to give away for a rental player? Yes, but you're trying to win this year. And then you have to decide, if you do that, what does your center field look like for the future? Is that Thomas? Is that Adolis Garcia? Is it somebody else you don't have?
I'm not sure who we had in here recently. Maybe it was Rob Raines who mentioned that Dylan Carlson may be the most impressive guy, even though he's not hitting a whole lot, in terms of eventual prospects turn major leaguers.
Well, that could be your center fielder, I guess, but he's a couple years away. You need to know who your center fielder would be next year if you made that deal. And I don't know if they have a real good center fielder other than Bader right now. I've seen Thomas play there a little bit. He's been looks like he's pretty good, but Adolis Garcia might be the better option, and he's starting to hit at Memphis, so maybe he is the guy.
Dylan Carlson, by the way, he does have some impressive numbers: 10 home runs, 42 RBIs. He's hitting 280 with a 363 on base, and I know he runs well too. He's a pretty good athlete. All right, you know, a lot of people wanted to blame Mike Matheny for everything last year. And yet here we are in late June with the strikeout rate the same, the record basically the same, and it's a team that, you know, also added a face of the franchise player in Dexter Fowler and a pretty good bullpen guy in Andrew Miller. I mean, I meant Paul Goldschmidt. What do you think? Is the manager's role overrated in all this? I mean, it's a better team on paper, yet the record is the same, and so are the numbers.
Oh, yeah, and you're taking it one step farther. It's Matheny / Mabry were an entry, and now Mike Schild and Jeff Albert are kind of an entry. You know, that's the new hitting coach. So I've always thought the manager's role was overrated and the hitting coach's role is overrated. They can't go up and hit for you. They can coach you. I'm sure both those coaches and both those managers have done everything they can to prepare their team to play the best they can. But the players still decide what happens. There's no other way to look at this. I'm a black and white guy here. The managers, I think, occasionally lose some games, and they occasionally win some games. But those are under maybe 5 per year. The players win games. The players lose games. The pitchers win games. The pitchers lose games. The coaches help. They can't go up there and do their job for them.
So who do you blame, or do you blame anybody? I mean, you're still just 2.5 games out. You're right in it, and you're 3 games over .500.
I look at my talent and think, wow, these guys are a lot better than what they aren't, and they're only 2.5 games out. So I think they're in prime position. They still have a good schedule for the next month. The A's virtually have the same record, 41-38. But as we saw with the Angels, you take away their DH like Ohtani, they're not the same team at all. That's unfair almost to put a team like you take your number 3 here out of the lineup in a series, and the A's have a great DH too in Davis. So you play them 2, you go to San Diego for 3, which is around .500, a little under. You go to Seattle, which is bad, for 3. You go to the Giants, which is worse, for 3. Then after the break, you have Arizona, which is so-so, for 3. You have a whole couple weeks of Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Well, they're below you in the standings before you finally get to Houston at the end of July. So they still have a great schedule.
Let's go above expectations, meeting expectations, or below expectations with the 8 positions. First base.
Oh, below.
Second base.
I think a little below. I thought he'd be a better than .240 hitter.
Shortstop now as we speak here.
A little below. He's hitting .260 now. Yeah.
Third base.
Way below. Better defensively than I thought he would be. But he's on base 32% of the time. He could get that just on walks, let alone the hits.
How about catcher?
About the same. He's 37 years old, and he's hitting .266 with good RBIs and catching well.
Left field?
I would say better, because he couldn't throw in the spring, and now he can throw well enough to keep runners reasonably honest.
Center field?
Center field way below. I thought he would be a 15-15 guy anyway, steals and homers. And right now he's got 6 homers and 3 steals, and he's hitting .209.
How about right field?
About the same. Fowler, despite his .240 average, has been pretty good. Martinez has been up and down, but he's hitting 290 as always, or 300, and he's got some RBI. So I think between them, they've been all right.
Okay, so we just went through the whole thing, and only one is above, and catcher and right field are at expectations, and the rest are below.
Right, and DeJong has been at expectations most of the year. I think he's just a little under right now because he's hitting under 200 for the last month, I think.
Well, so, I mean, if you're a Cardinal fan, I mean, hopefully they turn this thing around and meet – because if some of these guys just meet expectations, you got to believe they can make up 2.5 games.
Yeah. All these things come down to starting pitching in the end. And is their starting pitching good enough? And the answer to that is I don't know.
Yeah. On the Bumgarner thing, I mean, the Giants have to move. It makes no sense to keep a real high-priced player that's an asset that you can get, you know, acquire assets for. This thing's he's going to be moved, don't you think?
Unless he wants to resign there, and I don't think, looking at that club, that if he wants to win anymore, he's not going to resign there. If the Giants need players that they can put in right away. They need a pitcher they can start with right away. And Gomber being hurt right now, just to throw his name out there, it doesn't help any. He hasn't pitched in a month.
Who's another pitcher that could intrigue them?
Ponce might intrigue them. Reyes at some point might have intrigued them. I don't know. We've gone a long time without even mentioning his name here, but he's still at some point going to be here this year.
This year?
Oh, yeah. He'll be here some point this year. I don't think this last injury is anything catastrophic. I think he'll be here in the next month or so, but what will you have when you get him here? We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the expectations have been off the charts, but we have to kind of lower those a little bit.
Hey, explain to me, because I was comparing him to the other Reyes who had high expectations and had that great first start, had that great World Series start, Anthony Reyes. Why did he flop? Wasn't he really, really highly regarded at one time?
Yeah, I think he had some arm issues. That was probably the main thing. I remember the two games he pitched to stand out. He pitched a one hitter against the White Sox and lost 1-0. Yeah. Tommy hit a home run, and then the one, of course, when he won the first game of the World Series against the Tigers in 2006. So I don't know that, but he lost confidence. I think once he didn't have the same stuff he had before, and he just kind of faded out.
How about in your career, in terms of guys with hype and expectations, who the franchise thought was going to be great, maybe even you thought was going to be great, and it just didn't work out? I was thinking, go way back, Ray Bussey, Jim Lindemann. Who are some more that, hey, this guy's going to be, and it just never worked?
Well, Ankiel to some degree. I mean, he had one great year and then not really anything as a pitcher. And then he came back as a player and would give him two or three nice years. But as a pitcher, you thought he was
going to
be Hall of Fame type stuff, and he had... He won, 11 games one year, and that was it. So that would be one of my top guys right there. Lindemann would have been a good one, too. He hurt his back, you know. It's hard to play when you get a bad back.
Did they move Van Slyke because they thought Lindemann?
Yeah.
Gosh.
This was the spring training of 86, and they weren't entirely thrilled with their catching. They had LaValliere, and they had somebody else, not a great player, and they thought Tony Pena would help him a lot, you know.
And he was an all-star at the time and a good player.
And Lindemann was their best player in the spring. Then he hurt his back after they made the trade almost, and he played a little bit. He did play well for him in the 87 playoffs and series. Lindemann was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
can you imagine comparing his career to Andy Van Slyke's?
Yeah, I mean, Andy at that point didn't hit left-handed pitching very well, and he never really – killed him, but at least he got to play against them in Pittsburgh, and Waddy was reluctant to do that here when he had other guys.
All right, let's take a short time out. The commish is with us. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box, and I do want to tell you about a couple of our quick sponsors here. We have Worldwide Technology Raceway is our sponsor of the opening monologue, and they're coming off an incredible weekend. Yes, an incredible weekend where the place, despite the bad weather, was really rocking for the NASCAR trucks, and they had some great racing. It was Joe Gibbs's grandson, Ty, winning the ARCA race, his first time winning in a major national series. And the quality of racing, put on by the track. Three wide racing, lots of passing. Go to their website, find out about the Bomarito 500 just around the corner. Also, Maryville University sponsors the phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Maryville, a lovely campus in town and country. We'll be right back.